Welcome back to the Saturday Splash.
Oh, we're not there. Oh, no. Oh, sorry, I got caught
it's
up.
It's okay. That was just Maddie singing. So, you know, that's good because, you know, it's not, we're all about the jungle theme.
I can't not a wee when it's time to a wee.
Because we're in the jungle, the mighty jungle. We're here with Dr. Nick from the Greenville Zoo. He is a zoo veterinarian, or the head zoo veterinarian, and the deputy zoo administrator. And we're talking animals today.
We are. We've been talking conservation, genetic research, just the reintroduction of species, all sorts. The zoo is cool. I like the zoo. So let's talk about the Greenville Zoo in partnership with Furman University is hosting a conservation lecture series where me as a regular old person, I can go and learn about some conservation. Let's talk about that.
Sure. It's a series that has been going on 3 years previously. This is our fourth year. And we have had, over the years, a number of different individuals doing wildlife research or associated with animal health do a talk at Furman University that was coordinated between the zoo and the Furman University school programs there that support students coming and listening to lectures and encourage them to do so. And one thing we decided to do this year is we still maintain the relationship, but decided to broaden our horizons, so to speak, and have some venues that are not at Furman University, but at a downtown venue, for example. Our most recent one was October 19th, where we had Dr. Chris Cornelison, who is a researcher in white nose syndrome in bats, from Georgia State, do a talk, and it was at the Children's Museum. It was nicely attended, and it was good to see people that from the community have an interest in the conservation efforts and may not necessarily be able to travel out to Furman, even though it's not that great a distance. So what we're looking to do with the series is have some locations in the downtown and some of the talks associated at Furman. We're in the process of formalizing that schedule right now for the next several months.
Okay. What's next? Do you know? Can you say? For the next lecture?
For sure next year, and we're trying to narrow down that date, we have Dr. Eric Miller that is with the Madagascar Fauna and Flora Group that is a conservation initiative specifically focusing on the ecosystem of Madagascar, where lemurs live, and that definitely
that's cool because lemurs only live on Madagascar.
Attention. Exactly.
Yeah, I know two things about Madagascar. Lemurs live there, and there's a lot of vanilla there because Madagascar vanilla.
Oh,
you know.
Okay.
So that's what I know about it. But that's really cool.
But it's a program. Actually, the zoo is part of its conservation initiatives and support. We supported that program a few years ago, and so they're looking to come back and tell us about it. And following that, the timeline we're trying to figure out, but we have a gentleman that's doing research on giant anteater and giant armadillo in Brazil that is looking to come to the zoo as well. We're just trying to coordinate when he's back into the U.S. from Brazil, but we actually last year supported his research by contributing enough to purchase a GPS, a global positioning satellite harness that's put on a giant anteater so they can monitor its travels in Brazil to make a better understanding of how that population changes. And also, unfortunately, with giant anteaters in Brazil, they have a lot of roadways that they travel, and they've been hit by cars. And there's initiatives to try to decrease that aspect by learning how they travel and maybe create some wildlife pathways.
Bridges, anteater bridge.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Now, we have an anteater at the Greenville Zoo, do we not?
We do. We do.
Cool. And
it's in with Rias, who are also South American birds. They're big birds. They're not ostriches. They look like a small ostrich, but a lot of people think that they're ostriches. But it's a nice mixed species exhibit, and it's actually what used to be the elephant exhibit at the zoo. For those who haven't been to the zoo, we repurposed it for that.
And they're huge, by the way. Anteaters are large. They're much larger than I ever, I mean, you know, you see like the little cartoon of them or something and you don't think they're so big, but they are. They're pretty big.
They are. They're very impressive.
But they eat a lot of ants.
They do. They eat a lot of ants.
Could they come visit my house?
I would not recommend that.
Oh, all right. Well,
they've got big claws on their front limbs, and that's what they use to tear open the termite mounds with, or the ant mounds with. So they may decide to investigate your furniture and not exactly do the right thing.
So you are not recommending an anteater as a, you know, a way to control ants in your house?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right.
I think.
Pest control tips on Saturday's Splash.
Pest control tips.
Don't use anteaters.
Awesome. No. Cool. All right. So these lectures are free and they're open to the public weekday evenings when they get back started up.
They're in the evenings. What we'll do is we'll have it on our website. We've really tried to get the word out to people, and we have a good email list of people that came to the last talk, and certainly we'll get the word out through you all here.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, tune in. We will let you know when they're coming up.
Let's just mention their website. It's greenvillezoo.com, and we will also have a link on saturdaysplash.com, so you'll be able to get to that website.
Perfect. Let's talk about citizen science. We've done previous episodes talking about what citizen science is and some different programs around the area and around the country. Greenville Zoo hosts a citizen science program.
Yes, the program the zoo is involved with is Frog Watch, and it's run and managed as our lead point person through our reptile curator, Barbara Foster. And so she is very active in it. It's a program where anybody from youngsters to any adult up through adult age, and we have a lot of senior citizens that have gotten involved because of their work schedules having changed, to where you are out and about in nature, which is a beautiful thing to do, and you are listening to frog calls and documenting what you hear. You learn to identify the frog calls, and by generating or keeping track of that data, it's important information that's passed on to the Frog Watch monitoring program. And the population of frogs and toads in the wild is an indicator of the health of the ecosystem. And it's really critical to make sure the ecosystem stays healthy. If there's identification of, say, numbers that abruptly go down, that might indicate some disturbance in an ecosystem, and it could point to something that may impact the health of the people. So it's all interconnected. It's basically, the One Health initiative that some people may have heard about, it involves wildlife disease, human disease, and domestic animal disease. And all that's ecosystem related, whether you live in the city or you live out in the country. But it's important information that's generated. And you can be a part of it by participating in Frog Watch.
And y'all, I have to tell you, Barbara Foster, the person who runs Frog Watch, she is awesome. And parents, if you have kids and you would like to have an activity where your kids can be quiet, this is perfect for them, because you have to go out in nature and you have to be quiet and you have to be still in order to hear the frog noises. And so that's a great activity for kids.
Yeah. And the dates for Frog Watch will be on the website, but the next one is in February 25th and March 18th. Both of them are Saturdays, but the detail will be on the website.
Cool. I love that. I love frogs. That's so cool. Are there other ways that we as regular citizens can get involved with conservation efforts at home or help the zoo out with their conservation efforts?
Sure. You can, as doing something as simple as recycling. The city has a great recycling program. Just remember to not throw away your plastic water bottle into the trash. Just put it into the blue recycling bin or whatever color recycling bin you may have. Being very, very responsible on that side is key, because the less amount that can go into a landfill, just the healthier the environment will be. So that's one basic thing to do. There's trying to make sure that the palm oil that you purchase, and palm oil is in everything from candy to shampoo.
Donuts,
everything. It's a key oil in the world, and unfortunately, there's some palm oil plantations in Asia and Africa that just decimate the rainforest and the habitat. And if you Google sustainable palm oil, you will find ways to be responsible in making purchases from manufacturers that use palm oil that's responsible, that does not affect the habitats. Like I said, in Asia, you've got the orangutan that lives there. It's going to lose its rainforest habitat. And so that's a simple way of just being mindful, a good consumer.
I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, take a read of what you are eating, people. Palm oil, it's in a lot, and it's not all... it's not all sustainably harvested. So very interesting.
Quickly, speaking of recycling, is there anything that the zoo needs for their animals that people could bring and recycle that they don't need anymore? Blankets, anything like that? Yes, no?
We do take blankets and towels. Those are helpful. I think on the website, certainly, if you have a question, if you go to contact us, certainly, you can make an offer on there if you have something that we could make use of.
Perfect.
Whatever imagination people have, sometimes it fits with our imagination.
Love it. All right. Well, this has been another edition of the Saturday Splash. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We've been joined by Dr. Nick Kapustin from the Greenville Zoo. We are Lynn and Maddie from the Soil and Water Conservation District, and you are listening to 94.5 WGTK The Answer.